So this morning we are looking at what we should do when we are playing the waiting game. Sometimes in life you have to wait. Part of waiting is not losing hope. Part of waiting is knowing that there's a better day coming. Part of waiting is using that time well. You can sit on your hands while you wait, or you can do something to prepare while you wait, to ready yourself for the better day. How do we prepare for what God is going to do in us and through us? I wonder how many of us here today are actually just feel like we're waiting for God to do something in us, or something for waiting for God to do something through our church. Well, this message is for you today. God is coming. God has come through Jesus Christ. God is coming for you and for us. That's not a threat. It might be, I don't know. Are we going to be ready? Are we going to obey? Are we going to follow? Waiting that's active in the hope and belief that God's powerful spirit will activate the outworking of his kingdom, the kingdom of God that transforms around us culture, society, and people's lives through God's faithful community of believers. So this morning, we've got that promise of what God's going to do, but this morning we're going to look at how the early church waited. So the first thing they did, they waited together. Jesus tells this group of believers that they are to stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes in power upon them. So in verse 4 and 8 of chapter 1, he says, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this echoes the end of Luke chapter 24. I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This group of believers had not yet received power from God. The Spirit of God, who is fully and totally God, the Holy Spirit, has not yet made his dwelling place, permanent dwelling place in their lives. They are powerless. They are a group of men and women who were unable to prevent Jesus' death. They are a group of men and women who still believe that the kingdom of God will be activated by violence. They hadn't at this stage fully realized that Jesus had chosen non-violence to be the hallmark of the kingdom of God, a kingdom that was now and yet still to come, a kingdom that does and will do so, reimagine the world and what the world can be and what the world should be. This group were powerless to enact Jesus' vision of the kingdom. They had no social influence. They had no true wealth. There wasn't enough to start a revolution, violent or non-violent. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors, failed zealots, and women. Women who in that part of history didn't have any social standing whatsoever. They were powerless. And yet they had seen this one who claimed to be the messianic fulfillment of God's new covenant, this Jesus who had come back to life. He had died and was now alive, and they had been with him and they had eaten with him. And now he says, God's Spirit is going to give you power. Just wait for it. And then your job will be to be witnesses to who I am in all of the known world, starting in Jerusalem. That's part of the piece of the puzzle, but there's another part which isn't in our reading today, which I think if you go to John chapter 14, that's quite helpful for us. It reminds us that the Spirit of God is our teacher, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. They might not get it yet, but they're close. They might not get it yet, but when empowered by the Holy Spirit, they will begin to understand what the kingdom of God really is. They will understand even more who Jesus is as the Lamb of God, as the Son of God, as the final sacrifice for all sin, as the one who gives new life, as the one who will transform this broken world, as the one who liberates and heals and establishes shalom. Shalom, that the peace of God in a world crying out for peace. peace that is authentic and real. Jesus as the one who, in whom we declare there is power in his name, as the one who is the doorway into a relationship with the Creator God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. They will begin to understand that more and more. Like we will begin to understand that more and more when we open ourselves up to God's Spirit in us. In our story, the disciples head home. It's interesting to note in verse 12 that after Jesus ascended to heaven, the people gathered, just went home. It was the Sabbath day. The law said that you couldn't walk more than 3/4 of a mile on the Sabbath day. The early church was Jewish. They didn't abandon the law of God. Even as Jesus ascends, they are practicing their faith as Jewish people. And when they get to Jerusalem, they don't go their separate ways. No, they stay together. It starts with 120 people waiting on the promise of God, that God will empower them. 120 people. Most likely, they'd never even left the confines of the Palestinian region before. 120 people. Actually, it isn't a lot, is it? And what we've got, 40 or 50 participants here today, 70 to 90 people in our church, if we're all together. It isn't a lot, is it? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. It isn't a lot. Somehow, in the economy of the kingdom, God seems to be able to do an awful lot with not a lot. And we're part of that story. Acts in itself, the book of Acts, has this salvation theme that runs all the way through it. It's a salvation that is prepared by God through Christ for all people's groups. God is going to give salvation because Jesus has won it and done it, and everyone is to be a recipient of it. This group believed in Jesus. They had heard, they had seen, they had experienced the authentic Christ, and now they believed. They'd seen him defeat death, and so if Jesus says wait, they're going to wait. John Stott says this about this group of believers and about us. He says this: this then is the kind of Jesus Christ we believe in. He is both the historical Jesus who lived, the one whom the disciples knew and loved personally, and a contemporary Jesus who lives. The Jesus of history began his ministry on earth. The Christ of glory has been active through his Spirit ever since, according to the promise, his promise to be with his people always to the very end of the age. They believed in Jesus, the same Jesus we believe in. They knew the Jesus that we have come to know through his Spirit. So they waited together. We must never lose our togetherness as we wait for God to begin a new powerful outwork of his Spirit at St. Andrew Street Baptist Church, and then beyond. It's always beyond us. When God is working in our church, it means something's going to happen beyond us. And while we wait for the filling out of God's direction, we wait together. Next, their waiting included organizing for tomorrow. I remember a few years ago, a deacon saying something I believe which was incredibly prophetic and wise. They said they believed God was saying it was time to put our house in order. In the ups and downs over our last few years as a church, God has been encouraging us to get our house in order. A house that is in order is one that is easy for God to move in power through. God can and does use ordinary folks like you and me. The simple places to activate something that changes and transforms society around us. That includes you and me. For the early disciples, getting their house in order was the appointment of a new apostle. Judas, one of the original 12 disciples, had died. He had betrayed Christ and in his remorse had hung himself. It was a tragic end to someone who had been with Jesus from the very start. There's symbolism in the 12 disciples. Jesus appointed them, and they were the enactment of the new Israel. And now they need a new one. So Peter stands up. Peter is Luke, the writer of Acts, Luke's spokesman for the Jewish Christians in Acts. And he really is the spokesman for the Jewish Christians from chapter 1 right through to about chapter 15. They believe it is right to appoint someone who had known Jesus from the start, like the 11 had. They are the continuation of the kingdom work of Jesus. So right at the start, that continuation is held in high regard. We need to be reminded of the fact that we are the continuation of the kingdom of God too. And we need to hold that continuity in high regard. Do you realize that the kingdom of God is advancing because of the Spirit at work in you? And in me, in us, do we hold that in high regard? What a question to think about and ponder about. Maybe you want to go away and think, actually, do I really hold the fact that I'm part of the continuation of the kingdom of God in high regard? Go away, think about it, pray about it. And so in our story, they pray, they read scripture, they pray, they call Jesus Lord. They associate him with the divine. They also call Jesus literally everyone's heart knower. And it says this: Jesus, you know hearts, and so give us knowledge of your will. And they cast lots and they appoint their new apostle. Let me say this: leadership is essential to get right. Growth happens in churches that are healthy and growing, that happens when they have significant leadership, empowered and enabled, leading churches into where God desires. Churches that grow, and you can look this up, you can look this up through church growth stats, behind churches that are growing, you will always find significant leadership. It's God's way. And so clearly waiting involved making sure that leadership for what was about to come was right. Their waiting included getting their house in order, because they knew that if they were set up in the right way, when the Spirit of God comes, they can do and be what God is asking them to do and be. So that last bit, the last bit we've already touched on. So they waited together. Their waiting included organizing for tomorrow, and their waiting involves prayer and worship. Verse 14, all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. This group may be scared, but actually excited men and women were gathering together to pray and to worship. People who name the name of Jesus and worship him and study his word are people who pray and worship. Worship and prayer in this way are uniting. It's a measure of the perseverance as they wait for the Spirit that they're praying. And it's one of the chief ways that God chooses to minister his grace and his presence to us. Prayer and worship become the foundation for vision and mission. It becomes the centerpiece of what comes next. It underpins new growth. It links us to heaven and heaven to earth. It re-emphasizes in us regularly that this is what we are made to be. We are made to be a people connected intimately with God and with each other. And when the people of God start praying together, then we can be sure of this, that the power of the Spirit will break in. Every revival story I've ever heard of starts with prayer as its bedrock. The foundation for new life and new growth is always prayer, and God speaking these prophetic words to people like us. Words about God's good and righteous plans for the cities where we are based in. Let me finish with this. We know in the story of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, we know that Pentecost is coming. The good news of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and what Jesus is doing is going to spread throughout the world. We know Pentecost is coming. It starts there. But we have learned from our passage today the importance of active waiting. We are waiting for God to move in power through us. And whilst we wait, we do it together. We organise and we pray. The thing about the lockdown we've been experiencing, it feels like we've been waiting. And in the midst of waiting, we have been doing some wonderful things. Eileen helping us, empowering this church to feed the homeless with the homeless projects and other things that have been going on. We've been empowered to do things even as we are waiting. But this feels like a waiting time, doesn't it? So we do it together, we organise and we pray together. So this week, the challenge I have for us is simple. Let me ask you this question. Are we together? If not, then let me say this to you. Get on board. Get on board. If you have no margin or capacity for this community of faith being together, then perhaps God is calling you to make margin. Make space in your life to get on board with what God is doing in this place. That might mean tremendous sacrifice for you. It's not easy to make space for God in your life. It might mean a change of jobs. It might mean letting some things go. It might mean putting your hobby on the shelf for a little while. Make space for what God is wanting to do in St. A's and get on board with it. Okay, that's a really challenging word for some of you, I know. But if you don't have capacity to be part of what God wants to do in here, then there's something wrong and imbalance in your life anyway. Get on board with what God is doing together with others in this church. Are we organized? Is our house in order? Well, let me say this, we're getting there. But we all need to take that seriously, and we all need to be together involved in getting our house in order. I think God's been doing some wonderful things at St. A's, and we are beginning to move towards being an organised body of people who are healthy and growing and heading towards where God is doing. Last thing, are we praying? Yes, we are. We are praying, hallelujah, on Sundays and in our home groups and in our prayer meetings. But the time is coming and it has come. It's right now when faithful and consistent and committed and persevering prayer will be required by this community of faith, and it will involve together. Are we waiting actively because God has spoken a promise over this church that would mean the Spirit of God activating something significant here? Okay, that's all I've got to say. Hurrah, you say. He's finished. Brilliant. Let me pray and